Om. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the relaxing writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am the center of your meditation and host, Freddie Wong.
I want you to clear your mind. Breathe in. Breathe out. Purge all movie ideas from your thoughts. If a movie idea comes up in your imagination right now, just acknowledge it and let it pass. You are a blank, serene canvas. Batman. Then you acknowledge Batman, you thank Batman, and then you let Batman go. I'm Will Campos, screenwriting guru and co-host of this podcast, where this week, crazy stuff's going to happen, guys. You don't even know who else is here. Who else is joining us
in our space?
Who's in our space? Who else is? I feel another a third energy in the space.
A third chaotic energy.
Hi, this is Matthew, writer, director, a father. But in the end, aren't all of us fathers and mothers? Think about your father or mother today, as we begin a journey of our own form of creation. Storytelling. But in the end, aren't we all just stories?
It was Mother's Day last week.
All right, gentlemen, what are we doing today here at Story Break?
I'm going to break character for a bit. I'm going to fall asleep.
Hey, you know that there's a whole subgenre of sleepy time podcasts.
Sleepy time, Story Break, sleepy
and
break.
The advertisements go right.
I'm committing to this bit, this whole episode.
The advertisements for those Sleepy Time podcasts go extra great because it's those subliminal messages.
There you go. Very good. Yeah. This week, I can't believe it's taken us this long to come up with this idea, which
incredible.
No idea. As in the Japanese concept of mushin no shin, the mind of no mind, is very zen. We're doing a very zen episode because this week, the idea is nothing. We were born from nothing, and to nothingness we shall return. And in the meantime, we will create a story right now for you, our listening audience, for your pleasure, from nothing at all, from the thin air.
Freddie, begin the big bang of this episode.
The chimes start now. Freddie, I want you to do like two little yoga chimes.
I'll get some cool chimes.
And then maybe I can pull up my Insight Timer app that I never use for when I don't do meditation. And then I can do a little wood block in the middle and go like, dook. And be like, oh, it's been 15 minutes. My ass is falling asleep and my back is killing me. Only another 15 minutes to go before I can play video games. Little insight to the flow of Will's consciousness.
We should make a meditation app that's just like, if your lower back is hurting you, just acknowledge that and let it go.
Let it go.
Imagine just getting sick kills in Overwatch. No, not yet.
Imagine scrolling Slash Film for new articles.
We should make an app.
Superhero bits, page 1 of 3.
The problem with meditation apps is that they make you just stop whatever you're doing. So we should make a meditation app that's like designed specifically to play while you're playing video games. Like it's just like a voice
like mindfulness while you're poning moves.
All it does is it just posts onto social media that you meditate.
Yeah, so everybody, there you go, because that's really all you're doing.
That's all you want. All right, let's,
hey guys,
I feel like
story
we're
break, not make $1 trillion coming up with great app ideas break.
Give me a count. I want to start fresh, count down to 10, and then we're getting one
right, guys,
hour. I want
okay.
Free my mind,
guys.
I want nothing coming.
I'm going to count backwards from 10. I want you to take a deep breath. 10, 9. 8, exhale, 7, 6, feel the tension leaving your body, 4, you feel relaxed, 3, 2, 1, the clock starts now.
A dog learns to play piano and goes to Juilliard and gets a new roommate at Juilliard who is a cat. The cat plays trombone, and you don't think they're going to get along, but there's a bird who shows up. Who is an opera singer, because it was an opera singer, it was Pavarotti's parrot, right?
Yeah,
Pavarotti's parrot shows up at Animal Juilliard, and Pavarotti just died, but it had learned to sing like Pavarotti from listening to Pavarotti. And so now this dog and this cat, who play piano and trombone, have to team up to win Juilliard.
Okay, I want to point
Animal
out something.
Animal Juilliard.
I want to point out something that I love about that, Will. We've seen rom-coms, and we were just talking about rom-coms, and Matt is constantly talking about how there's no good rom-coms anymore, and everyone's looking for romantic comedies. That's sort of that old staple genre that people used to love, that used to be the biggest thing in the Hollywood box office.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what it needs was, instead of the pairing between a mismatched human and a mismatched human being. What if you did a rom-com meets A Dog's Purpose? Like a rom-com about two animals falling in love and being cute together forever.
That's like, you know, a lot of Pixar movies. Like Zootopia is essentially a rom-com in a
middle of a... Slow down, pervert.
Pervert.
Slow down. Zootopia explicitly
the
does
two main leave, characters
do not fuck, Matt.
What, so one, you're proposing that the dog and the cat have sex in this movie?
Wait, are you suggesting it's only rom-com if the two main characters fuck?
Let me think about this. What's a rom-com where they don't?
I mean, most movies from the 1940s.
But it's implied
that they do at the credits roll. And if you're thinking that that rabbit and that fox aren't fucking making fox rabbits by the end, like 10 seconds after those credits roll.
I would like to direct you to one website called DeviantArt.com, good sir. And your notions on that subject will be corrected. We don't have to go with the dog thing. That was just like, I was just trying to show off by blurting out a movie idea.
I mean, Animal Juilliard.
Okay, but like, I want to explore this fully, Will, because
all right,
we have animals playing basketball, the Air Buds 1 through 8. We have animals playing various sports. Why not animals
playing music?
Playing music.
Do they have to put
Why can't Birdman be a bird?
Wait, what?
Why can't it be Charlie Barker?
Oh my God.
The fun of animals playing
Charlie
sport.
Barker and Meowls Davis.
Jesus Christ.
It's a jazz. It's like a hard bop jazz, cool jazz animal movie. And they're called Jazz Cats.
Is this in the Homeward Bound world, or is this anthropomorphic Pixar world?
We haven't seen a movie in the Homeward Bound world in a while.
Dog's Purpose just came out.
That's one comes out every year.
No, but here's the problem: is
it's not for people like you, Freddie, who have Enjoy Your Burrito on your shirt. They're for people. They're for people who own animals and have children.
First of all, how dare you? There are many burrito lovers writing in, tweeting at Matt L. Arnold, telling them about how much they love their dogs and the Mexican delight known as a burrito.
You could pretty much roast Freddy by describing whatever is on his t-shirt and saying that you're a man wearing a t-shirt with that on it in any given scenario.
It just reminds me when I was in college, and one time I was just like, I don't know, man. I guess kids just don't play toys with toys anymore. I just don't see toy commercials anymore. But it's always like, do you still watch Nickelodeon? I was like, no. It's like, well, that's why there are still toys and kids still buy
toys. Still toys.
You just don't watch.
No, I'm saying that the reason, here's the difference with the dog's purpose is like, it's the dogs in a bunch of vanilla ass situations. Like Homeward Bound's like, this dog like ducks a fucking wolf and jumps a waterfall and like dodges traffic. Like you never have animals in peril anymore because it's dangerous. But we have CG now.
Animal movies serve two purposes. And as somebody who loves animals and has a cat and has had cats my whole life and wants to have a dog. But they serve two purposes. They're either an indulgent fantasy about your dog doing something that you wish you could, like as a team. That's why you have a lot of team like sports movies. It's like, it would be fun if my dog played baseball with me. Or they're roundabout ways to tell you that your dog loves you as much as you love it. Which it doesn't, because it's an animal. So it's an entire movie about, yes, this dog will go to the ends of the earth to come back home to you because it loves you as much as you love it. I'm trying to think if you would want to watch a movie about a bunch of animals
doing jazz. A dog practicing scales and like doing heroin.
Yeah, really what's this dog's passion?
What's All Dogs Go to Heaven about?
This cat turns its back to the audience when it plays because it's really just playing for its fellow musicians.
All Dogs Go to Heaven is anthropomorphic. It's just a story where the animals are just a way to tell that story. I mean, it's not a world of really... I mean, there are humans, but it's all... Again, there's also
just
crocodiles.
Just like how Zootopia was an anxiety attack about white fragility. Yeah. As an animal movie.
Okay.
I like the animal movie direction, though.
Do you?
I do like it.
I feel like we're not really really committing to the movie from nothing premise, though.
That's true. All
let's right. put let's put Hep Cats as like option one.
Okay, Hep Cats.
Hep Cats, or as it's called for short, Hep C. So we got Hepcats. That's one option. We can bring it back to Hepcats. Let's really, but like, I really want to steer into the nothing, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's start with like an indulgent 2-minute conversation about like what even a movie or a story is, right? Let's challenge all of our assumptions, right?
Okay. A series of moving pictures, but they're not moving. They just, you just think they're moving.
Well, let's get away from movie. It's such a loaded term. Let's start just with story. Freddie, what is a story?
Ooh. A story is a sequence of events.
Is it
a story? Yeah, I think so.
It has to be a sequence. It's a way. It is our mind making sense of the chaos of causality. It is a tale of causality. It is a sequence of events, a cascading sequence of events from point A to point B to point C. And that's it. That, I think, to me, that is about as bare as you can get.
So, what is like the most bare bones story you can think of? Like, what's like the most like stripped of any, you know, genre? What is a story about? So events. So like, there's a subject, right? Like, it feels impossible to tell a story without a subject, right? Because you are following in a sequence of events that starts with something, right? Yeah, or rather is focused on something. Like, if we're going to start with all things that have ever happened in this history of space and time, or that ever could happen, right? Yeah, yeah. We're talking about an infinite potentiality of events happening simultaneously and in different dimensions and all that stuff. A story is a selection of one of those, right? That goes either forward or backward in time, I guess. You like memento.
I wouldn't even say
a selection,
I'd say an interpretation of one of those.
An interpretation of a selection of one of those things, right?
Yes.
So you have to focus.
Designed to make some sort of point. Because there's a design
all right,
to
right,
story.
Slow down, Aristotle. So you have, it is, okay, so it's a sequence of events that is being told. It's being expressed, right? So oh my God, this hurts.
Can a painting be a story? Can a photograph be a story? Does it have to be a sequence of events? If a story can make you fill in the gaps, right? A good story never tells you everything, right? Yes. It gives you a point A and then it gives you like C, and the best stories make you fill in B. Can a photograph just be point B and let you fill in everything before and everything after?
It doesn't even have
to be a sequence of events.
So it could be, I always think of that photo of Muhammad Ali knocking down Joe Frazier. I think it's Joe
Sonny Liston, I believe.
Sonny Liston, is that the one where he's like standing over him, like,
yes,
it's,
I believe,
like,
so.
You're like shouting and like, yeah, it's like that's,
he's actually
a whole
singing.
Yeah,
that's a whole.
He's going, oh,
is he? Or are you? I hate you.
You're just throwing off Will's flow.
That's not a story. That's a lie. So like that's one image, right? Yeah. But there's a story, you know, sort of that your mind fills in, right? I would disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I think an image can make you tell a story.
Because
that's what you're bringing to the table.
But that's all you, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't tell you a story. It showed you a picture of a guy punching another guy.
But the artist made a decision.
He made a decision, but that's a moment.
If all viewers essentially more or less take from it the same story, and that specific image was made to make you fill in those gaps, still, isn't that picture? Yes, that picture is giving you the story, but is that one? Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. In terms of the actual, it's like that picture provided you a story, but the story is still a sequence of events.
Or that picture made you think of a story in your head.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you saw it and you're like, that guy hit that other guy, right? Yeah. But that's not necessarily what happened, you know? Like the,
Anyway.
All right, well, that was productive.
Yeah.
We've reached our 10 minutes of noodly bullshit.
So a story is a sequence of events selected from the miasma and chaos of any and everything that could happen in any other version of reality, right?
Sweet.
There's an explosion. A guy walks down a street. A dog shits on the grass. That's not a story. That's just random shit, right? Like,
there's causality. There needs to be a link to causality between those events.
Yes. I mean, that could be a story in like a fucking Inarritu bullshitty Babel kind of way. If you were like, wow, man, everything's interconnected, right? But then like, you have to prove that it's interconnected. So even there, you're like, all this stuff is connected, usually by like, you know, some sort of ponderous spoken word poetry or something like that.
Or the connection could be fate itself or an idea.
Yes.
Of destiny and stuff, and that's what's connecting it. Or
the lack of
or Spielberg version of that story would be the dog is the guy's dog, and the guy was going to find his dog, and the building blew up because he was a firefighter. Like it would be the connection.
Yes,
it'd be some sort of story there.
Okay, all right. So we've done enough of this.
So here's what I was thinking. Here's just a thought. It's not very helpful, but there's a whole lot of hubbub going on about this musical, which I haven't seen, called Cats. So I'm wondering, one, have any of us seen Cats? And two, can we just pick another word that we then try to do a musical in the vein?
We're in it now. We're doing
this isn't it. But I mean, I didn't think the idea of, like, we're not making a movie about nothing. The idea is that we come in with no
prompt. But what I'm trying to get at is that, like, I want to start in a vacuum. Well, that's, do you know what I mean? Let's create a story from first principles. Do you know what I mean? Like, of what a story is.
So the subject, we're talking about subjects. So, like, what I love about Cats is it's like, what's the play about? It's like, Cats feels like the first particle of the Big Bang. It's just like, it's like Cats. It's like, where's that go? And then it spreads out or whatever. Like, what's our subject?
What if our subject is, yes, I think we've arrived. And we broke Freddy.
I love the idea of we named this like Zen, a story about nothing. And then like 12 minutes in, we're like, 12 minutes in, we're like, guys, what about Grumpy Cat the movie?
No, we've left the outs. We take only what we bring in with us. What I was going to say is, what if you're going to hate me. You're going to absolutely hate me. And everyone's going to turn the podcast off. What if
they haven't already.
What if the subject itself was nothingness? Hey, man, come on. Didn't you ever take an art class at some point? Or, like, weren't you ever a pretentious teenager?
Yeah. I'm just Googling closest dispensaries because I'm not high enough for this discussion.
This is the Jaden Smith movie.
What if our movie, what happens if our movie begins at birth, or when life really begins?
Oh boy. Please donate to the Yellow Hammer Fund. They're doing good work. How do you choose? Okay, it's weird though, because it's like, how do you choose what to make a movie about, right? Or what to tell a story about, right?
It's something
it has
that
to
you
be something that stirs your passions.
And I think the true art, something that you're, I think one of the interesting things is when you're trying to tell a story about something that you're struggling with or you're trying to figure out, because again, I think stories are a way for us. That's one reason you get a lot of stories that are like, one, because those are lazy approaches, because that's something you're dealing with all the time. That's an easy thing to deal with. But that is one of those reasons you have a lot of stories, a lot of movies. They're like, oh, this main character is
trying to write a story.
It's trying to write a story or a struggling artist.
We're not going to do a struggling artist story. But let's say, like, the three, because this I like. Now we're getting to something, right? You're telling a story. Again, the caveman, what did he paint? He painted the
boobs.
A lot of boobs.
Trying to just kind of dig every time I dig for a profundity, I find a dog turd that one of the two of you have laid for me. But like, he painted, you know, the hunt, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in the safety of my cave, but I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. I have to go out into the crazy forest and find something and kill it and bring it back from the crazy forest so I can continue to eat until I'm hungry again, right? It feels like
really quick, that is a pretty rad movie. Just the idea of like a wordless, like, primal movie. It's right? Just like, all this is just, it's a single mammoth hunt.
Did you see Genndy Tartakovsky's new show?
No.
It's called Primal, and it's about a caveman.
Yeah, but he's like buddies with a dinosaur.
Yeah, but it's gonna be like wordless. Yeah, which is that's what makes it a movie.
That's like one step away.
Then they're cops.
Then it's a movie.
And then they're Flintstones, and they gotta use their feet to pedal their cars.
Like, a pretentious movie would just be a caveman wandering around, but Genndy Tartakovsky's gonna make it a story because he's gonna buddy up with a dinosaur, and it's gonna be good.
Okay.
That's some creationism bullshit, Matt. I want to point out that Genndy Tartakovsky is pushing an agenda.
Okay.
I didn't think about
that. I had a real thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
I was going to be like, because I think, Matt, you bring up a really good thing. Stories are a means of self-expression, right? Like, it is your narrative. Ultimately, like, the chaos of the universe filtered through your mind and imagination, you are coming up with something and expressing it, right? Yeah. So, like, what is something that, like, the three of us, like, as men, not as men.
But you thought I was
not like as men, like in a gendered way, but as human beings. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. The three of us as human beings.
I mean, we are men, Will.
Yeah, I know, but like that can be the thing.
If you're gonna do a story about us, like it's like we are men, so like we could make a story about being men also.
Sure, but here's what I was gonna get at is like, what is like a thing that all three of us feel like we could we want to tell a story about? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it Grumpy Cat?
Is it and why is it Grumpy Cat?
Is it Grumpy Cat? Oh. Uh-huh. Is it Grumpy Cat because it's about death? Which goes back to the theme of the episode, primal, which is nothingness.
The most primal fear. The thing, the constant that all life must face.
Yeah. You guys know what I'm saying?
I'm digging your fucking vibe, my man.
All things considered, y'all. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Everyone's going to think I like had like one of those CBD coffees before this episode started. I swear to God, I'm not on anything.
Death is a common thing. I mean, common.
One might even say, Will, the most common thing.
And while I said it, just to go back for a second, because while I said it crassly, I was being semi-serious about the fact that probably the single most discussed subject matter in all of art is penises and boobs and vaginas and things. Because if there's one thing,
sure.
I would say that we deal with sexuality and our own genitalia less than we deal with death. You could go see a major blockbuster and a bunch of toys will fucking accept their death, but I don't see Woody pulling out his Woody. I don't see mainstream movies dealing with sexuality very much. The fact that there's still a news story anytime a major blockbuster is going to deal with some other, you know, some quote unquote, you know, non-normative version of sexuality.
Like Cars. What's under the hood? Is it boobs?
The sacred and the profane merged at once.
It's the fact that we could just say, like, yeah, let's do a thing about death. But the moment we said, let's do a movie about penises, everybody was like,
we can't do a movie about wieners.
We can't do a movie about wieners.
All right. So
this is all about, like,
20 minutes into our...
If Will's going to make us go into a movie with no prompt about death, I'm going to push it to making it a movie about wieners.
Okay, so 20 minutes into our Zen experience, we are at wiener death.
Wieners and death.
Oh, this could get tough.
That's wiener death?
Wiener death.
All men wake up.
It's like the movie Cats. It's like the musical Cats, but it's just called Wieners. And you know, like, there's that show on Broadway, like, Wiener, like, what's that show? It's like Wiener Magic or whatever.
The Puppetry of the Penis?
Yeah, Puppetry of the Penis.
What you're thinking of?
So it would be a bunch of...
Wiener Magic!
Wiener Magic is why you think it's
Puppetry of the Penis. It'd be like, all your actors would be in all black, like, they would sort of like disappear in the background. The only thing revealed are their wieners. And then just like Cats, if I remember this how Cats works, essentially, somebody would just say, like, a name of a wiener. They'd be like, Willie the Wiener! And then he would come out and be like, I'm Willie the Wiener, I live in the back alley, and here's my story. And they'd do a song about Willie the Wiener. And then through this musical, we would learn all about each other's wieners.
Long time storybook fans.
Where does the death come in?
I'd like to apologize.
Where does the wiener death come
in? There's an old man wiener, of course.
You know what's funny is that this is what happens to a podcast when you go like 100 plus episodes without any sponsors.
Okay,
is that you lose any samples.
Look, you started this. So like, look. So what is a wiener when you're a very
old... I should have known. I created a vacuum, but we all know the first law of physics is that Matt's id will occupy any amount of space you give it.
What is a wiener? When you're old enough that you can't use it in the way that you think about it all the time as like a child, like for sexuality. Like when your old man's just, and you just have this wiener here and a pee, like, is it now just an instrument?
It's basically an extension cord for pee.
So does it change? Like.
I hate everything we've become. Okay. All right. I'm going to
roll. Okay. We're not
going to
do wieners. We're not going to do wieners.
No, no. God. Okay. All right. Okay, so we've got death, we've got wieners, and we've got grumpy cat.
Well, we started with jazz animals.
And jazz animals.
Okay.
All right. What time is this?
We've wasted 20 minutes
okay.
of our
all
viewers'
right.
This
time.
This is not a waste.
No. This is the clay from which we will sculpt this material.
This is tuning the instrument.
When's the last time you've gone to a fucking museum and saw a bunch of clay and the artist was like, hang on, there'll be something eventually.
Hang on.
Well, that's the point of this.
Cat.
But that's the point of this podcast is they're seeing the writers play their wieners before them. Before it's released out to the world.
Okay, like the caveman, right?
Yes.
This is the part of our journey where we are venturing into the wilderness. Uh-huh. And we will find the idea for the movie, and then it will be the frantic return, right? Yeah, that'll be our act three to act four. It's like, sure, we find the movie, but oh no, we squandered 50 minutes of the podcast, and now it's time for a frantic dash back, picking up all the things we learned along the way.
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you get it? It's like, I feel like that was a very, I did a story about us doing a story in a pretty cool way. So no, like, I just want to take a second to acknowledge.
Sure,
that.
Sure. Let's.
Everybody take a second to let Will acknowledge it.
Please tweet me while when you hear this part of it and just tweet, nice job, Will. And I'll know that you were listening to this part of the podcast.
How about the art of war? As I'm just looking at what's in
Don't. We're supposed to be in a hermetically sealed environment.
Oh my God. Okay.
As a gimmick episode, if we do one where we all are in sensory deprivation chambers, but there's a microphone and we can hear each other. Okay,
pretty good.
We're going to start a GoFundMe for put all three of us into sensory deprivation.
But stories can't be made in a sensory deprivation chamber. Because then it's just a story for yourself about yourself. And that's just your psyche. That's what you're doing all the time. Like, stories have to go out in the world. They have to connect with other people. They have to be in the context of your times and place. And you have to reach out. You're trying to, not only are you trying to, you know, make people relate to what you're thinking, you're actually reaching out to the world. So, like, you can't just be sitting here in a bubble. Otherwise, you get, you know.
I want to bring this back to the primal stuff.
Okay. Not the wiener stuff.
I'm not against the wiener stuff. Okay. The wieners are still on the table.
Okay.
Here is, I find it interesting that we brought up death and then we ran to the safety of wieners.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because, like,
the antithesis of death.
It's funny that you would say the safety of the wiener, where I was thinking of the danger of the wiener. We have very different relationships with our wieners.
Yes, we do. I was so hoping, like, we have very different relationships with our fathers.
The fact that you thought about your father when we were talking about wieners says a lot about your relationship with your wiener and your father. This is why people don't talk about wieners. They get heavy.
You understand the wiener of life and the wiener of death. In balance.
No. Well, because it is one of those things. There's a reason why a lot of Cronenberg movies are explicitly about death and
sexuality. Yes.
Penetration and bodily functions and fluids and life and rebirth, like all this stuff, like they are very tied together.
Yes.
In a lot of art, you commonly see death associated with sexuality because they are, in a way, very related.
Okay. Yes.
It's our only way to defeat death.
Yes. To create more life.
It's to create more life.
And there's the talking again, the orgasm being the little
Le
death.
Petit
right?
Mort.
Yeah. Okay.
Or the Big Bang, depending on how you do it.
All right. But here's what I want to say. I'm trying to have a serious podcast here, guys.
I'm trying to.
In his own way.
Let's take, this is the material. This is the clay, I think. I feel like we found the clay, right?
We did? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is the peanut butter and the jelly with which we will make the sandwich of our story.
Yeah, the wiener and the
sex
grumpy
and death.
Cat.
What two more human things could you make a story about, right?
Sex and death.
Yes. Like, you're like wieners and death or whatever, right? Fear and lust and I don't know. I keep thinking about this caveman going out into the woods, right? Like that, and that, like that. That's always resonated with me. Oftentimes, we'll get stuck in the room, right? Like on a story, and in my head, I kind of go back to the caveman story as like that is the simplest for me to understand in terms of understanding those beats of a story. You know, the zone of comfort, the need, the stepping into the new world, right? The journey, the finding something, the turn, and the challenge of getting back with what you came with, and you know, the change, and then ultimately, like, you know, the new story that emerges from it. So, if these are the elements of play, like, what if you're going to do like a story where it's like where a fear of death is motivating that temporary distraction?
How would you define that, right? Because I think a lot of the movies implicitly have a fear of death, right? Any action movie, it's like, well, yeah, he doesn't want to die. Mm-hmm. Or there's a fear of death present in any time, you know, a knife or a gun or a weapon gets drawn, right?
Yeah.
So how would you quantify that in a way that is more specific? Because I think you see that a lot already. How can that be
that's literally the thesis of, I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's like all movies are just violence and are just death and kissing, death and sex.
Okay, so.
Like James Bong bangs, James Bong.
James Bong. Go ahead and file James Bong into future story break episodes. Because that one's a winner, Matt.
James Bong in Moonbaker.
See, this should be the movie we're doing.
All I can try to do is think of James Bond puns now. Okay, so, all right. What if...
You only chief once.
Is chief a verb?
I don't know, man. Look at me.
Look at you with your enjoy your burrito shirt. How could we possibly think you enjoy the occasional?
Okay. What I was going to say is, like, what if our focus is on the late great Grumpy Cat? And what if Grumpy Cat is dealing with the fear of his impending mortality? And is this too soon? How do people feel about it? I know we're all sad that Grumpy Cat died, but like the like
I didn't care. I just saw it on the thing.
I was like, oh shit. I mean,
he's
like
a cat.
You know, we've been talking about animals. We've been talking about death and sex. And, you know,
did
it
Grumpy
feels
Cat
like that extra
kids?
Little bit of like.
Did Grumpy Cat have any kids?
Did Grumpy Cat have. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good question. Grumpy Cat have kittens. He had 2 7-year-old human children.
I don't want to use Grumpy Cat's death to.
To do like goofs on?
Yeah.
Do we want to like, can we do Angry Cat?
Angry Cat too? What about Cat?
No, I'm saying that like, could we come up with our own bespoke internet cat?
I mean,
can we do the Keyboard Cat movie? Is Keyboard Cat alive?
No, Keyboard Cat also died. My God, all of our heroes.
All
guys.
Of them are. Oh, man.
How about a caveman comes to the future and is like, why are all these pieces of food being put on the internet playing instruments? And he goes hunting them and eats them all. And everybody has to deal with the idea.
A thriller.
That
about a thriller.
In a weird way.
About a man who kidnaps.
No, not
celebrity
kidnaps,
cats.
Eats them. And then the question is, I remember Anthony, sorry to throw Anthony on the bus here, getting mad about, Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. Getting mad at Shape of Water. Like, how could you make a movie sympathetic about the creature eating a cat? I'm like, how about because cats are meant to be eaten. They're meat. So like this idea of it, and by the way, I've just gone vegetarian, so this is not some pro like animal eating thing, but like the point being is like a caveman coming and be like, hey, in a way, isn't like using these animals for your own weird twisted form of human entertainment somehow on a cosmic level more of a disgrace than following the food chain as nature, as Gaia itself made it to be? Tell you what, if I went and I saw a lion eating a, you know, a little squirrel, I'd be like, yeah, that lion's eating a squirrel. If I walked in and a lion was tying a squirrel to some rope and making it play the piano, I'd be like, fucking kill that lion. That lion is twisted. That lion is defying the rules of nature. Anyways, that's my rant on Grumpy Cat.
If we all got AM radio stations, I think Matt's would be the most popular. What do you think, Will?
Okay. I feel like, I don't know what the theme of Story Break Season 2 is, but I feel like the burns have gotten way harsher and a lot funnier.
Now they're going for the throat.
Here's a little inside tip that the listening audience will appreciate. You'll notice that Matt and Freddie never roast me because they know I could not handle it. I would be crying and I would spend the rest of the episode being like, am I really like that? Is that really what you guys think? So like, it's really just me getting to take cheap shots at these two guys. Okay. All right. I had a thought. So going back full circle, like here's kind of what I'm picturing. It's coming into view.
Okay. Boy, this is my favorite episode, by the way. Okay. Yeah,
this is like a top 10er for me easily.
Imagine this. Because when you were saying that, you know, when Matt was talking and I was thinking about something else, I was like, something that always fascinates me is people talking about, like, you know, when you look at, like, Grumpy Cat, and Grumpy Cat is evolved from a saber-toothed tiger, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's very funny that that's the same species.
Yes.
Similarly with dogs, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, like, the Beverly Hills Chihuahua used to be a wolf.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, like, we follow, it takes the same premise as a dog's life, right? Which is that, like, the same animal spirit comes through, like, multiple lives or whatever.
So they kind of did that on, is it similar to, on Rick and Morty?
God damn it!
You remember that episode?
The worst possible thing you could have told me. I'll put my fucking head through a window.
Remember the dog, I forget what happened.
Remember when Rick and Morty already did that thing you came up with, Will? Remember when you did a sci-fi show that got canceled by Hulu after one season and at the same time someone else did a show called Rick and Morty and it's really popular? Remember when every time you pitched Dimension 404, people said, you mean like Black Mirror? Hey, have you seen Rick and Morty?
So there's an episode of Rick and Morty where the dogs, I forget why the dog starts getting consciousness.
He starts getting consciousness because Dan Harmon is so fucking clever. And I'm sorry. I'm done making it about me.
And then he's like watching, the dog's like watching like the Discovery Channel about like the wolf.
Yeah.
And then the future is that then the dogs become mechs and then they essentially
enslave humans.
Us as humans.
Yeah,
so they kind of.
Okay. I'm not saying we do the Rick and Morty.
Yeah. No, I was just saying it's like similar in that kind of.
Similar in that someone already did it.
Yeah. Or like the Alpha. Whatever is that Alpha movie that came out?
Alpha. Like, yeah. But imagine like, okay, here's what I would say. Like imagine the first. Okay. We're going to do a 5-act thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your first act is the caveman story, right? And it is the animal as food, right?
Yeah.
and then like that is the relationship.
It's kind
right?
of got a little Buster Scruggs energy here.
Yeah,
know?
Almost
it's
like
it's,
yeah.
it's about the meditation of the end of the Old West a little bit. Buster Scruggs has got a lot of things, but
here's a thought. Because like you see this a lot on Twitter, or just like kind of in, it's just a kind of general statement where that, or even just a joke in screenwriting world, like people care about animals more than people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's that saying that you know you don't want to belong in any club that you be a part of. That's why Woody Allen said that. But that's a general. That's kind of a sentiment
no,
I've seen a
not
lot.
Woody Allen.
Who was it that said that?
Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx. Or even the idea that things that you the only things you can actually hate in people are things you hate in yourself. Mm-hmm. So you see the things you dislike about yourself in a way to deal with the stuff you dislike about yourself. You deflect it and put it onto other people. Mm-hmm. Do you think animals, the reason we love animals so much is animals is the one way for us to put the things we like about ourselves? Like, we can only put the things
now
we enjoy about ourselves on animals. Animals are loyal and they love us. Because, like,
it's unconditional.
Because, again,
love.
I'm not going to get into the whole whatever souls or things like that, but, like, animals are not people, right? Like, animals do not have the same relationship. Like, if you save an animal over a person, you're a bad person. Like, and animals aren't people, okay? Like, not even on, like, a soul level, just on, like, a biological, like, level, right?
Okay.
But we love animals. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love animals. And if I'd be honest, it's because animals, like, in my mind, an animal's perfect. I think an animal's just like, so all movies about animals are just us reflecting what is best about us into something else because we can't deal with it in ourselves. We can only
but
deal with it in beautiful animals.
But what's fascinating is that what's so interesting about our relationship with animals is that they are this outlet for, they're this vessel of our pure love at the same time that we wear them over our skin.
Yeah.
And we slaughter them by the million.
But yet, that's why we want to
yet
avoid.
Yet you yourself are part of society. Interesting. Okay. But here, just to go back to that, because I think that's something you can play around with. Mm-hmm. But like, so like imagine Act One is the caveman story, right? Mm-hmm. And it is this contestive, really kill or be killed. You eat the animal. It provides you food, right? Mm-hmm.
And shelter and clothing, etc.
Act Two is like your man meets dog story, right? Like the relationship, the beginning of the bond between man and animal. Mm-hmm. And or human.
Or
and
like
animal.
Egyptians and cats. Like, what was up with that?
Yeah,
right?
What's the deal? Because here's what you do. Okay, so then you have that. And then you have like the like, oh, we have a relationship now. I don't know what 3, 4, and 5 are, but like here's what I think 5 is. Mm-hmm. Is that you do like these stories are moving forward through time, right? Because you start with like prehistoric, and then you do like, you know, like
Cloud Atlas style.
But so then you do the second one is like, again, when we're really domesticating animals, right? And then you have the third one that is like, you know, I don't know, but it's like, here's where you get to at the end, mm-hmm. is that as we're watching this, we're like, yes, it's interesting how like our relationship with animals has evolved, right? Mm-hmm. But then you end it, and it's like, in the last one, it's like, no, all of these different things about our relationships with animals are happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Like, there is, like, this is just, and so it would be like, it would be seeing each part of the relationship. Here's what it is. The first four are, like, seeing different aspects of our relationships with animals mm-hmm. in, like, a sort of isolated story, right? Again, mm-hmm. a sequence of events that tells a point. And then the fifth act is a synthesis of all of them in mm-hmm. one. Do you know what I mean? And then you see that really what is the most fascinating thing about a relationship with animals, the collision of all of these different elements in such a strange and contradictory way as it exists in the modern sort of space.
And the last one's about a guy who...
And it's about Grumpy Cat. But here's what I get to with I definitely think one of the stories would for sure be about like an Instagram
famous like an Instagram
famous animal.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that.
Like this weird relationship we have with
them. Because you know what it is? Because in that case, that's your animal as your caretaker. Your animal's the provider, right? In the first one, man is the provider for his family, so to speak, right? Mankind mm-hmm. is for themselves.
Oh, you're right.
Whereas by that point, it's like the strange mechanisms of society have evolved so that Grumpy Cat made more than Gwyneth Paltrow in 2007. Well, right, like, or whatever that statistic
but
was.
But here's what's also interesting about
the
it.
The breadwinner was Grumpy Cat.
It is in all of them. Mm-hmm. It is the contrast between, it's like, is using Grumpy Cat for clicks any different than using the wolf's carcass for food? Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's one element of it in every case that is predatory. And then there's one element of it that is respect and love, right? And it is the collision of them at the same thing. Because it's like, even like with the caveman, right? Like, you have that moment, like the moment of compassion between him and the wounded beast. Do you know what I mean? Or like when he puts it out of its misery. Yeah. Like, there's
right.
There's a reverence there that is absolutely missing.
Well, yeah. On tours that hunted animals had, there's a reason why a lot of their art has to do with animals. It was respect. Like, again, it was an acceptance of the reality of the world. And like, again, the tiger would eat you as quickly as you could eat.
Buffaloes are
dangerous creatures. Like I would say, like on a very like metaphysical level, like it is much worse because it's just like You're just getting clicked. What's that? That's my. That has nothing to do with livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. Like killing an animal to eat it is following the rules of nature. Like you have to eat something to survive. Whereas like that is just your own vanity and fame to a degree. There's no argument to Grumpy Cat likes being Grumpy Cat. Really? Have you fucking asked Grumpy Cat?
Okay, good. To be fair, the wolf didn't like getting eaten.
No, but the wolf is on this earth. And one of the things it does to be eaten.
We arrive on the planet.
Sure, I mean, dude, if you want to get into like, I mean, that's from our perspective.
Well, no, that's
the wolf's intent. Like, well, we don't know why the wolf exists anymore.
No, but the wolf,
focus in, bull.
All animals eat other animals. Nature has this, there's a very precise
all
balance.
All animals
of
also love other animals.
What?
Like humans love humans, and they love other. They love dogs. Have you seen the animal? You see bonds between different animals.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, yeah. But animals eat animals. Like yes. I'm saying, there's a chain. Like there's a way that life and biology works. Even if it is, it's just like I want to find a way to do a story. Like again, Alpha or like the Black Stallion. Like come up with like a story about our relationship with animals, which ultimately become kind of like. Because again, the positive element is like I believe society is judged by how you treat, and less is the wrong term, but like how you treat the weakest, so the people that need help. And like I think humanity is definitely should be judged on the way it treats animals. Like we are like whether you believe in religion or not, like the fact is like we have the most impact on this planet, and there are living things here. So like we should be judged on how we treat the weakest. And that doesn't mean not to eat them. That doesn't mean not to kill them. Because again, I believe that I think it's reductive to say you can't kill animals because it's like. Sorry, like that's literally how every solar systems are being an ecosystem. Black holes eat planets. Like they're like there's a system in life, but you have to be respectful. You have to treat them well. Mm-hmm. So it's just like dealing with what is that relationship,
Let me throw something at you. What if you have not Grumpy Cat, but you know Wacky Cat, mm-hmm. right? Our fake cat, and Wacky Cat and Wacky Cat's owner. Are driving to the convention, right?
Yeah.
Wacky Con,
right? Yeah. And
celebration of all things wacky.
Wacky Cat's owner is checking Twitter and drives into a semi-truck. And mm-hmm. both Wacky Cat and the owner are killed.
Decapitated instantly.
And so he wakes up in human heaven. And he's like, but my cat is the only one I love. Like it can't be heaven if I'm separate from my cat.
Okay.
And so
it's what dreams may come, but with the cat.
He's gonna try to reunite with Wacky Cat. Mm-hmm. But Wacky Cat is in the animal forest, mm-hmm. is in animal heaven. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Like reuniting with like past animals, right? Mm-hmm. Like again, this whole line unbroken to mm-hmm. from Wacky Cat to the first cat. Right.
What if you found out that since we always just go into, I guess, blasphemous territory, what if you found out that the reason the devil fought with God was the devil's a fucking animal lover? And then he found out you telling me you didn't put souls. Where do animals go when they die? God. He's like, well, not in heaven. This is for people. It's like, you specious motherfucker. And then it's about like, yeah, because if you're going to do that as a guy, like, why isn't the cat in heaven? Because God's decided that.
So where do they go? Like, all dogs go to hell. Is that the movie?
I don't know. I mean, where are you going with? Like, you're saying.
I don't know. It's like some sort of journey where he's trying to reunite with his cat.
Yeah. So why is the cat? No. I agree. I'm playing along with you. So why is the cat? Why didn't the cat's soul? Like again, in what dreams they come, the wife commits suicide. So it's about the morality of death.
Yeah,
like, why is the cat not in heaven? Is it because he was a shitty cat, or is it because you're playing with the idea that cats? Don't go to the fact that there's a human heaven would make me think that his response would be like, yo, this afterlife sucks. I got to change things up here. God, you got to let animals in heaven. And there's going to be a challenge towards the way that the afterlife is functioning.
Like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, except he's filibustering. God.
Oh, can I do? Here's your twist.
Uh-huh.
Here's your twist. This is your Twilight Zone twist.
Okay.
He finally meets God. Uh-huh. And who's God? God's a big old cat. God's like, we keep you humans here. Because cat heaven doesn't have
awesome.
Humans in it.
Cat heaven's perfect. You're actually in hell. All humans go to hell. Perfect. Yeah. All animals, souls are actually just the thing.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, Matt, you said
souls
that,
are what hell
you know what
are
is?
What
yeah,
hell
yeah, yeah.
beacons are called.
Matt, because as you said, right, we put the greatest qualities of that we see into animals, right? Loyalty, unconditional love. These are all godly qualities. These are all pure qualities. Why do we deserve? We clearly don't deserve to go anywhere. If the standard for heaven is set by dogs, we're boned. No, even the best human being is not as good as the worst dog, right? Like, so if that's the standard, if that's the curve that we're graded on, so it's a guy
who
dies.
It's tough because then it just depends on how. this is the weirdest episode because it just depends on how you decide morality. Like, I could also say that dogs can't be good or bad. Dogs are no more moral than a stick, right? If you believe the way Herzog says it, he looks into the eyes of a chicken, what he sees is nothing. Like, dogs evolutionarily evolved the idea to have whites in their eyes because they were late. That's why dogs have the most, like, animals have whites in their eyes, we just respond to more because they look more like our eyeballs. But, like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, you could also argue that dogs have no morality whatsoever. They just do a thing. Their response to you. So it depends on how you're, it depends on what you're doing, what, like, kind of how you're approaching that.
Are love and morality the same thing?
Can you even have morality if you don't make decisions? If it's all impulse, if it's all reflex, if it's all, and then do us, do we ourselves have free will?
Do we have free
exactly?
Will? All right, interesting that we are in a society where we talk of free will. Okay,
boys,
we
have 15 minutes to kind of figure this out.
Oh my god. Okay. All right. Well, we've had a lot of fun here today on Story
Break. Let's just do a movie about Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat, the movie.
What was your thought on Grumpy Cat? We can do this. It's all there, right? It's all there. We just got to figure it out. Let's go back to the caveman. Not to say we're going to make a story about the caveman doing the thing.
Yeah.
But, like, that kind of story. Like, where, like, there's that power, something as powerful as hunger. Is driving his journey.
I'm just imagining Cloud Atlas, and it's just like, don't you see? We're cursed to live the same stories again and again. And it's a guy with like a grumpy mammoth, and a guy like
Cloud Catlass.
All right, oh, there's like a movie that's like, it's like this Nine Lives. It's like a cat and his nine lives. There's a similar thing to like Cloud Catlass. It'd be like the same cat living multiple times or whatever.
Okay, what if you do this? What if you do... Okay, what if we go back to the five movies thing? Hear me out, though.
Okay, yeah.
Here's the through line.
Okay.
Is that when man kills that first animal, right?
Yeah.
The animal swears vengeance, right? He's like, my ancestors will destroy you. Like, I will have my revenge, right? Like, I will... I will get mine, man. Do you know what I mean? And then we are following this cursed animal spirit through its various lives as it's trying to wreak. It's a cat, right? It's a pissed off cat. Like, it's always like, why are cats so mad, right? And so here's what it is. It's this cat that is so fucking mad that it got killed by this shitty human. And it's like, I will kill you and your family. And like, it's like a classic evil cat story.
It's like
saber-tooth.
It's like the first saber-tooth tiger cat.
Yeah,
like all the evolutions of it. And right now, cats are losing.
So
we're winning right now.
So do you guys know the story of the Jungle Book?
Rick and Morty did Jungle Book.
Well, no, it's because Shere Khan is a cat who attacks a man and burns his face, and then he wants a revenge on Mowgli because Mowgli is the son of the man. So
sure,
it's
sure,
a cat.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like you would do, but it's like generational, mm-hmm. right? Do you know what I mean? So it's like this cat has been trying to mm-hmm. like kill this mm-hmm. man. It's almost like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner,
and
right?
And it's been so many years, so many generations,
that
so
it's
many
devolved.
Thousands. And also... That fury has diluted. The cat just knows there's a vague malfeasance towards man, but it doesn't know how to express itself. So it's just like, I guess I'll just knock over this cup. Why am I doing this?
I mean, I do
what
like the
this?
Idea of doing
this.
It's this
cat going on a spirit journey, like a full-on walkabout to fully understand the hatred towards mankind, and it ends with the cat tearing its owner's throat out.
You do, or the cat, like a sense, you do the cat's like, I'm going to become Grumpy Cat, the most popular cat on Earth.
Oh.
And I'm going to, the humans waste away their lives in idle pleasure, you know, being delighted by me. And,
oh,
you know,
so it's like a Pyrrhic victory. It's like, we will take over this internet.
As their cars pollute the atmosphere and their wars rage and they slowly tear themselves asunder, they will see none of it because they will be so dazzled by my own silly beauty that they
okay,
will.
Okay. So the idea that cats as a whole,
yeah,
the idea that cats started by trying to eat us, and then we built walls and had guns, and it was impossible. Mm-hmm. And then they began to be bred, and we got domesticated cats. So you have this epic sequence of all these.
But that was like the cats being like, we must go through the walls through their hearts.
Yes. Well, at certain
phase
points,
phase two.
Yes. So then it is like, where are they now? It's like, yes, they've gone from just trying to, you know, chomp our heads off to like, they will take their society down from the inside mm-hmm. and be adorable, and we got to distract them as we won.
Reclaim our place as the powerful predators, the apex predators of this planet.
Yeah, you know, and it's like they're gonna like, you know, like the, and then they don't realize what's happening to them at the same mm-hmm. time. Like they don't realize it's also meditation on how war strips, instead of war stripping you of your humanity, war strips these cats of their catmanity. And then, you know, they become docile. They become the playthings of the very people they were forsworn to destroy. It's like a tragic story.
So it's one cat. It's one cat.
What's he trying to do?
Here's essentially what I'm envisioning. It's like the alpha.
It's
cat,
called
right?
a cat's it's purpose.
Cat. A cat's purpose to kill man.
To kill man.
I love, by the way, you're like, you said no, that.
It's
like,
just called cats.
Yeah. So
we're claiming the title.
It's called cats. Okay. So you do, there's this cat. And then whenever this cat dies, it's like quantum leap. He wakes up as a new cat, mm-hmm. you know, 100 years later.
Yeah.
Right. That's the Faustian bargain he made with Mr. Mistopheles.
Okay.
The altar. Yeah, yeah. But you do, like, there's the almighty cat, right? And he mm-hmm. prays to the almighty cat for, like, give me revenge. He's like, once every 100 years, you shall be born anew and you shall be able to whatever, right? But every 100 years he wakes up, cats are in a very different position than they were 100 years yeah. ago. So now it's like him working his angle, right, to yeah. get to the next thing, right? And so, like, that's kind of the quest that we're following him. And
so it's Nine Lives, but it's a revenge story.
Yes.
He starts off as, like, a cougar in, like, the year, you know, 200 BC, and he's like, fighting this man, and you start your revenge movie. You're doing this montage of all these times these cats have killed people in the jungles and stuff like that, and you're just getting faster and more violent.
You can even do, like, stories.
It's just exploding with it's just gore and violence, and then and it's this tiny little fluffy kin in, like, a high-rise apartment in Manhattan, and he's born, and he wakes up, he's like, time to take on, time to tear some throats. And he looks around, and he's declawed, and he's just sitting there, he's looking at some more people.
Oh, is that...
What?
So all that's just, like, the intro to the movie about this modern cat?
Oh, are you... Okay.
I was saying literally the movie follows one cat. Over
through all the
there's one cat
So there's definitely definitely one version where it's like, you know, in India when Britain was being called, like, being super colonial, a lot of its time was being super colonial, but there were, like, the examples of those tigers
animals that would attack the railroad makers.
Well, essentially what I'm saying is that it is literally like a dog's purpose. Like, in a dog's purpose, it is one dog that dies and is reborn
and keeps taking care of
the
family.
Okay. It's like that, but the cat is trying to kill.
Okay, who's the cat trying to kill? Then
Here's what I would say. Your opening is that action scene, right? It's this cat going around and he's in this battle with this man, right? Mm-hmm. And then man tricks the cat and uses his deception to kill the cat, right?
Okay.
It's a Bengal tiger pit. Do you know what I mean? Like, the fucking pointy thing, right? And the cat is like, man, this is bullshit. Man did not obey the rules of the jungle. Man cheated. Mm-hmm. I want my revenge. And he prays to the cat god. And the cat god's like, all right, be careful what you wish for, but I'll give you 9 lives. I'll give you 9 shots to get your revenge on this guy's line, right? On this guy's family.
Yeah.
And so then, essentially, we're following him through history as he's trying to take out this guy.
He wants to get rid of this man's family line. He wants
guy's bloodline, essentially. Okay. Yeah.
I just looked this up. You're not going to believe this. This is literally the plot to Cats. Can you believe it?
I don't know. I'm not trying to railroad it.
No, that's fine. Okay. No, I was just trying to think of, so, like, a dog's purpose, like, the framing of that, because obviously it's like, because it really follows the life of this little girl.
It's like
a 6-year-old child or whatever, and it's like, essentially, she grows up to be, you know, whatever, an
a
old
cool
woman.
Hip.
It's like, she's always had a dog.
Exactly.
It's like, it's a power fantasy. Yeah, your dog stays with you all the time. It doesn't. It dies. All of our animals die at some point. My cat's going to die soon, and I will be sad about it. I'm not going to pretend my next cat is my same cat, because I'm not a sick fuck. But whatever. You'll watch your dog's purpose, and you'll cry about it. Okay, but so in this version...
I think Matt's working through some stuff.
Matt's working through some stuff.
Between Plato getting older, and, like, his vegetarianism, I think he really wants to eat meat.
I think he needs to just get a burger. I'm going to go get a quarter pounder, and we'll see what happens here, Will.
Okay, so, but in this version, so I'm just trying to think of, like, so the goal is he's constantly trying to, so what are, like, the challenges along the way, and how does it evolve?
Is it
a classic revenge story? Like, he's gonna realize it's no longer, like,
5 minutes, by the way.
Here's what I would say you do is that in each life, okay, I'm having thoughts.
Okay,
so first act, right, is him chasing the guy, right, and then he falls in the trap. He's like, this is bullshit, I died, and, you know, like, this is crap, right? The next act, act two, is he wakes up and the humans have built walls, right, to defend themselves from the cats. The cats have not gotten any smarter since the last 100 years, but humans have gotten so much more clever, right? He's like, and all the other cats are still trying to win the fucking fight the same old way, right? And he's the one who's like, No, if we're going to get our revenge, we have to befriend them. I have seen the humans and how they fawn over our infants.
Their weakness is their love.
I've seen their compassion for weak babies and stuff like that, right? And like, even maybe you do like, he was like as a kitten. In this version, as a kitten, he stumbles into a boy and the boy is going to kill him, but then the boy thinks he's too cute, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I have a plan for how we're going to get in there, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he gets in, like act two, he like decides, we have to befriend the humans, okay. Right?
That's their Egypt stuff, right?
So yes, then you would do like, then you jump forward again. And now it's about them trying to convince the humans to trust the cats, right? Like that's what his next life is about. Like that's act three, essentially, right?
It's like, if it's a rock star story, he kind of gets lazy. Because what it is like, he's like, I did get my revenge. They fucking feed me. I get litter boxes.
And then you know what
They're
happens?
They're my kings. They're my kings.
He gets put to sleep. That's act four. Act four is he gets put to sleep, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, what the hell happened, yeah. right? And he's mad. And then he comes back as Grumpy Cat in act five.
Well, no, I think act five...
I feel like Grumpy Cat's the low point almost.
Yeah, Grumpy Cat's the low point. Grumpy because Grumpy Cat thinks that that's the Dominion. They have utilized our love against...
I feel like he would be Grumpy Cat, he would die, and then the cat god would be like,
you have failed.
You have one
I gave you nine lives to avenge. And like, he's like, but they became my kings. Sure, but look at you now. You're a minstrel. You're a clown for them. Who are you? What have you done? And it's like, this is not revenge. He's like, you're right.
This is weakness.
This is weakness.
And so then the last one is the cat destroys the earth.
Well, no, but here's the last one is post-apocalypse. There's a few roving bands of humans left, and it's the cat now again.
Oh, man's cleverness finally got him in the end.
Yes, and in the
right?
end, it's the, yeah, exactly. Man's
and
invention.
It's the last
the punji trap is one the first step in a long line towards nuclear weapons.
Yes.
It's right? just a circle of life, because when he gets sent into a body of a cat after the nuclear apocalypse, it's all fucking mutated. It's like a warg, right? It's like a big, scary cat.
Oh, that's
he's like, what
so
is it?
Cool.
And then these humans are like walking through the desert, and they look, and all they have is sticks and stuff, and then he looks at them, and he snarls, and he's like, yes, back to the beginning, motherfuckers. And he goes
but then
after
I'm like, you need a punchline. You need like something like, yeah.
I think
you
it
know.
Must show mercy. Because he's finally conquered
humanity.
Oh, you
know what you do? Yes, you do act five.
He ties them up and he makes them his slaves.
No, he begs, because he's used his nine lives, but he begs the Cat King for one more life, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I will not fail you, right? Yeah. And then you do, he wakes up and it's the wasteland. I love that. I love mm-hmm. post-apocalypse. And he's like all yoked in. He's like a freaking fallout cat, right? And then you do, there's the last human tribe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh my God, he's going to do it. He's going to wipe out humanity, right? And then you would do, like, there's... Like, I don't know. I wanted to end with a really old man and a really old cat curling up and dying together. Do you know what I mean?
So you want one of the first revenge movies just to have a happy ending.
Well, no. But I feel like you do. Like, maybe he mortally wounds the last man and the last man mortally wounds him. Right.
And they both realize
and they
that
both
life
realize
is
they are the last of their kind. Mm-hmm. Right. And that the lights are about to go out and they huddle together for warmth.
And they see, they sit there, they both mortally wounded each other, they're staring at each other, the cat like licks his wound, and the guy like pats him on the head, and it's kind of like the end of Double Indemnity, but if they're both dying, it's like he's lighting a cigarette, and then like a big goofy dog walks by like, and they're like, man, fuck dogs, we should have both teamed up and taken out the dogs. Can't believe in the end the dogs are the ones that are going to rule the planet.
Just this dog walks up and takes a dump and then just walks off. And dog lived through it. And you do, actually, dog is a third heat character who, like, doesn't get what cat is all about at all. I was like, well, humans are fine. Yeah, you know, we were wolves. Right.
Whatever.
Like, we got over it. Like,
yeah.
we were wolves.
Yeah, dogs got over it.
They got
didn't
over
care
it. Like, yeah.
Happy go lucky.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, if they're like, wait, you guys just got to be nicer. Like, we literally got refrigerated sections now in their freaking supermarkets.
The war between life forms is futile. In the end, we are all consigned to the halls of death.
But
and
I do like that he and the man are both dying at the end and they go to each other for warmth, right? Like, it's a companionship, right? Because that was what seduced him at the midpoint, right? Was that you would also do, like, his quest to get revenge on me. He's like, oh, well, I'll be their friend first. Like, what always happens with that? It's like an undercover cop story. You start to empathize with the gangsters, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like he starts to empathize with man. He likes the affection. He likes getting scratched. He starts to feel, dare I say it, love. And then the second he lets his guard down, they're like, oh, gee, Willer, because he's all old now. I have a better time.
Well, they need each other
sleep.
They need each other for warmth, because ultimately we're all fighting the same enemy, which is Mother Earth. Which is nature's the ultimate enemy.
Well, it's chaos.
You can
it's
only survive.
Yeah,
thermodynamics.
Yeah, well, it's our fear of death is what's driven us.
Both,
do you know
both
what I mean?
Animal and man. You know? At the end of the day, we'll curl up together to stay warm to not freeze to death.
Yeah, and then a dog will poop, and that'll be the end of the movie.
I love the idea that just in the distance, a dog pops a squat and goes, and then it's away.
I do think that's a movie. Like, I like it.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's called A Cat's Purpose.
It's called Cats.
It's called Wieners. I love this episode. This episode started with, I don't even know what.
This is a great episode, everybody.
A Cat's Purpose is to kill man.
We're going to go look up what the musical Cats was actually all about.
And I told you what it's about. It's just a sequence of a bunch of cats.
Yeah. Well, so
That's literally the musical.
Well, anyway.
Imagine four cats on the edge of a cliff.
We're going to take a quick break. Do stick around. Bye.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Welcome back. It's time now in the podcast for the guided story meditation featuring me, Will Campos, story meditation guru. And today I'll be joined by Matt and Freddie, who agreed to participate in this exercise to help you clear out your stress, empty your mind, and get into the work of generating a story from nothing.
My mind and heart is open.
Okay, to you, Will. Thank you.
It's not because we haven't started yet.
No. Okay. Well, I was getting ready.
Okay.
And bowels, both, all three.
Thank you.
I just released my bowels before coming here to make sure that even though they were going to be open, that nothing would happen.
I really wish you guys had listened to the guided meditation examples I sent you before starting this exercise. But nonetheless, we will begin now. Freddie will now put in the sound of a bell chiming. We start by offering kindness to ourselves, kindness to the ground, kindness to the air and sky.
Do we want to... Eyes open or eyes closed? Sorry.
You can close your eyes. Thank you, Freddie.
Okay, if you're participating...
Whatever feels comfortable to you at home, if that involves turning this off and doing your own guided meditation because my partners are ruining it, go ahead and do what feels right.
Okay, my eyes are closed. Can you start over?
If you're driving, please keep your eyes open while doing...
We start by maintaining total silence. And offering kindness to ourselves.
You're pretty cool, Matt.
And to our friends and to our co-hosts.
You're pretty cool, Matt.
You're pretty cool, Will and Freddie.
And now we breathe in. And as we breathe in the world around us.
When do we breathe out?
And now we breathe out.
Oh, my God.
And we breathe in again.
Getting lightheaded.
And we take in the world and the stories all around us. We allow them to fill our spirit and our heart, to become part of ourselves, to really meld with our consciousness. And we breathe in more because there's still more breath to be breathed in. And then we breathe out.
Good.
And we expel. We're still breathing out.
Oh, okay.
We expel all that story energy back out into the world. And in this way, we establish the rhythm of storytelling, which is to breathe the world in and to exhale our own expression of how we feel about the world.
Go ahead and use our affiliate code to pick up Save the Cat from Amazon. If, in addition to breathing, go ahead and support this podcast by purchasing one of the screenwriting
books. You may have stray thoughts enter your mind from time to time, dumb jokes that you think will be a funny way to amuse yourself during the meditation. And here's what we do. We acknowledge the joke quietly in our own mind without saying them out loud. We bow to the joke. We thank the joke. And we let the joke sail on by.
We add the joke to our Amazon cart and make sure that we're using the affiliate code provided on the Storybreak Twitter at RJ Storybreak.
Finally, we take this quiet moment of reflection to think on the nature of story itself. The sequence of sequences, the events within events that make up our lives, that make up the lives of those around us, and we give thanks. We breathe in once more. Breathing in the story energy of the universe, we breathe deeper, and we breathe deeper once more,
accessing the deepest parts of our diaphragm and our soul, and we fill ourselves with life and love and everything that good stories are made of, and then we exhale and we say, Rick and Morty.
We also give thanks to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network. You can visit MaximumFun.org to see all kinds and listen to all kinds of great podcasts. Other than this one, do that, please.
Special thanks to the emptiness of the cosmos and universe for inspiring this week's episode.
That was really relaxing, guys.
Thanks as well to Story Break Season 2, the experimental free jazz Story Break, continuing to keep on rocking in the free world. Will, did we have any fan art this week? I don't know, because I forgot to bring my laptop with me. So
and we're floating in the void.
It's floating in the void. Freddie and Matt will continue to vamp while Will pulls up the fan art.
There's another number of ways you can interface with us, Storyboard. Jesus, Will. About to knock over a bunch of shit in my place. There's a number of ways you can interface with us, including on Twitter at RJ Story Break, and on Facebook at
at Freddie Wong. Search Freddie Wong's Facebook and look at pictures of his family.
I'm going to pronounce. You know what energy has kind of come into this today is I've decided. Will, I'm going to just pronounce it as Facebook from here on out. Put the emphasis on the book forever
Facebook.
And ever. Hey, have you? You can check us out on Facebook at bit.ly/storybreakfb. There is no Amazon affiliate code. I don't know how to do that. If someone wants to message us and let us know how that's done, that'd be great. Thanks. Hey, Will, as we float in this void, is there any fan art that's coming by as we're hanging out here?
If you want to know what sort of energy we take into a story pitch, this is it, because we have a very big pitch today. And depending on when you're listening to this, you can either wish us good luck or you'll never know what it was about. Or this will be a very fun behind the scenes 10 years later as we have a world famous show. But based off of this energy, my guess is not the latter.
Also a bad omen. There was no fan art this week.
Thanks once again
to the emptiness of the cosmos submitting nothingness. Perhaps the ultimate fan art for this nothingness themed episode.
My name is Freddie Wong, and this week I recommend that you sleep on your side because you can breathe better that way, because breathing is important.
I'm Will Campos, and I recommend The Sunrise.
Again?
Oh, did I do that last week? Son of a bitch. It's jackass. Still great. Sunrise is sun. This week I recommend The Sunset.
Oh, nice.
My name is Matthew Arnold, and I recommend extra wide mouth straws for smoothies, because if they're not extra wide, you're just not going to get that smoothie up in your mouth.
Wait, did you have a smoothie experience? That was... Oh, I see. You have a bunch of straws in front of you. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.